This is Week in Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
The United Nations Security Council must work with the United States and Britain and other concerned parties to send a clear message that we expect Saddam to disarm. And if the United Nations Security Council won't deal with the problem, the United States and some of our friends will.
President Bush speaking to reporters on Thursday just after meeting with Colin Powell, U.S. Secretary of State, to discuss progress on work with the United Nations Security Council to pass a resolution authorizing intervention in Iraq. Dan Shore is away this week, so we're joined by Michael Kinsley, founding editor of Slate Magazine, who joins us from the studios of KUOW in Seattle. Michael, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, Scott.
And let me ask to begin with, the support of Russia seemed to loom large, potential support of Russia seemed to loom large this week, has a permanent seat in the Security Council, of course, henceforth a veto. Do you think that Mr. Bush is going to be able to get the support he wants from Mr. Putin, any sense of that, and ultimately the support from the United Nations?
Well, he got pretty thoroughly dissed yesterday by Putin and a couple of his cabinet members, who compared what he wants in from Saddam with the situation in Chechnya, mm-hmm. where we were very much opposed to Russian action. And that was a pretty clear indication that they're not going to cooperate.
Well, as we focus on what nations might vote for or against the U.S. position, in the end, does that really matter? Are you convinced that this administration... Yeah, go ahead.
It doesn't matter to George Bush in the end whether Congress supports him or the United Nations supports him. His position is very clear that he's going to do what he wants and believes to be correct, irrespective of either of those two institutions.
Mm-hmm. In fact, do you think there's going to be a vote in Congress that is going to be anything other than marginal in opposition to the administration's position?
No, he's certain to get a resolution of some sort. They'll trim it around the edges. He wants a very vaguely worded resolution that allows him to do anything, and there will be certain limits which don't really matter in the end if he takes the position as he has that that the president is authorized to do anything he wants. It's very difficult for Congress in a situation like this because if you vote no, you're not really preventing a war that you may feel is wrong. Yeah. You're putting yourself in a position where American soldiers may be at risk, may be dying without your public support. So that makes it very hard to vote no. And the Democrats are actually more anxious than the Republicans to get a resolution so that they can just get it out of the way.
Mm-hmm. Of course, on Monday, the government of Iraq delivered that letter to the UN Secretary General Kofi Annan, pledging to allow weapons inspectors to return to Iraq without conditions. They say this morning, of course, that if there is a subsequent UN Security Council resolution, that's not so much to their liking. They thought they agreed with something with Secretary Annan. But President Bush, of course, says this is the same old song and dance. Do you hear the music of that song and dance in this offer, too?
The trouble with President Bush's position is that you really lose your leverage over Saddam Hussein if you say, we don't care what Saddam Hussein does, he has to leave office. And Saddam Hussein takes the position, if the UN will guarantee me that their force will not be used against me, I will make these concessions, and you might rationally choose not to believe him. But you can't really expect him to make concessions if there's nothing in it for him.
Mm-hmm. But concessions, are there concessions that he can make realistically? What's your reading of that now?
There's no concession that he can make that will satisfy the United States government, correctly or otherwise.
I've had something that, forgive me, that I've wondered about this week. If international inspectors were to arrive in Iraq anytime over the next, let's say, couple of weeks, do they become, in a sense, an argument against intervention in Iraq, rather as peacekeepers in Bosnia did?
I think that's a very good point, Scott. And you remember that that action against Iraq was delayed for several months in the last go-round a decade ago because there were American citizens there and Western citizens from other countries. And I think that would make it rather difficult.
Mm-hmm. And which could explain why the administration has been outspoken against perhaps not even trying to permit that to happen this time.
I think that may well be one reason, but the other reason is they feel He's had his chance. He's had a chance for over a decade, and he hasn't complied.
Friday, Michael, the Bush administration released a document that outlined their argument for employing what's called preemptive military force in dealing with national security threats. What kind of departure does this represent for American policy, and specifically with that of the last administration?
Well, it's a very interesting document, Scott. Every president wants a doctrine, like the Truman Doctrine and the Powell Doctrine. Our Secretary of State has a doctrine of his own. Mm-hmm. Now, the Nixon Doctrine. And this is Bush's official claim for a Bush Doctrine. And it's an extraordinarily clear and concise document, very different from the typical foreign policy gobbledygook of both parties, really, and both presidents of both parties in the past. And I think some of the key differences are he rejects the notion of containment, the notion of deterrence that have really been the cornerstones of American foreign policy, and endorses a concept which is called preemption, mm-hmm. which is what we are doing with Iraq, which is that we're not waiting for an attack. We're not waiting for anything to directly threaten the United States. We're going to preempt. And the reason we're going to do that is because we are the only superpower, and he is committed to keeping us the only superpower. And the document has a very low tolerance for multilateralism, for the United Nations. It is, in essence, a codification of the policy we've been seeing from the administration for the past year, and of some of the speeches that President Bush has been giving. Mm-hmm. And you may disagree with it, many people will, but you have to give him credit for stating it very clearly and concisely. He was reported as saying he wanted the guy from Lubbock to be able to understand it. And I think anyone, even in Seattle or Lubbock, can understand it quite clearly.
Yeah. Well, in Seattle, they understand a lot. I sort of, as they do in Lubbock, forgive me. We have wonderful listeners in Lubbock. Listen, we have to ask about events in the Middle East because Israeli forces have been tightening a siege around Yasser Arafat's compound in Ramallah after new suicide attacks killed 7 Israelis. To run, yes, this question through the prism of the week for Americans, is there a possibility that this conflict with this sequence of events would in any way complicate U.S. efforts to deal with Iraq?
Well, I suppose the conflict gets worse and worse, and the stalemate gets more and more intractable, and it does complicate it. But one of the fears of people about an attack by the United States on Saddam Hussein's Iraq is that he will use whatever weapons he does have against Israel. I would have to say that the particular events in Israel are not going to affect that decision on Saddam Hussein's part one way or another, but it certainly complicates life for people making United States policy.
Okay. Michael, thank you very much. Nice having you back, and hope to have
thank
you back
again.
Thank you,
Scott.
Thanks very much
I
for being with us. Michael Kinsley, the founding editor of Slate magazine.